This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, always a pleasure.
So, for this week, what did we get for number five?
We've got Vans, and we're not talking about the vehicle here. We're talking about the shoes. I'm stoked to see Vans trending. Vans are the only shoes I ever wear. But this week, they're trending because they're doing a collaboration with Harry Potter, and it's just kind of teased out right now. If you go to their website, there is like a four-tiled aesthetic going on their website to represent the four different houses of Harry Potter. And they're going to release these collaborative shoes representing houses from Harry Potter, which is awesome. Everybody's stoked. And I've also heard that they're going to have a sorting sock that you get sent, and it's kind of like a mood ring. And then based on like your foot and the size and the heat and the odor, then you send it back to them, and they tell you what house you are involved with, and then you get that shoe. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That'd be sick, huh?
I was stoked. I was like, you had me. You had me at sorting sock.
Dude, it would be all time, but unfortunately, they're not going to do that. But the rumors are true, and they are doing this collaboration with Harry Potter, which is going to be sweet, man. Vans is awesome. They're just all time. They're so classic. They're so cool. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, the classic skater shoe, which is still surprisingly around. I love it, though. I love Vans.
Yeah, what house are you? Are you big Harry Potter?
Oh, I am, and I'm sitting here like, am I a Gryffindor? Am I a Ravenclaw, Slytherin, Hufflepuff? I do like to eat, so I could be a Hufflepuff, you know, because I'm friendly and I like to eat. I'm not much of a Slytherin because I'm not, you know, ambitious enough.
Yeah, Ravenclaw? You're a nice person.
Yeah, Ravenclaw, you're smart, but I don't think I'm that smart. I'm more hungry than smart.
No. Yeah, I agree.
Gryffindor, I'm not courageous, so because, you know, I don't really like to jump out of planes and stuff, so I think I'm gonna go with Hufflepuff.
Yeah, I could see that. I think I'm more of a Gryffindor type of a guy, but I don't know, I gotta wait for the sorting sock, I guess.
The sorting sock, I was stoked. You had me, Justin. I wanted there to be
an email. I feel like that's smart. Like, you know how like mood rings change colors based on like variety of different things? Like, do that with the sock, man. We got the technology.
We have the technology. We could do this. $5 billion sock.
It's so good.
What did we get for number four?
We've got Administrative Professional Day, and you might not have heard about it, but it's a day to celebrate administrative professionals. And don't worry, there is a Boss Day in October, but there's a lot of search interest. Like, thank you note for administrative assistants spiked over 900%. Thank you for Secretary Day gift spiked over 3,000%. And the reason for that is that I think back in the day, it was first celebrated in 1952, and I think that it was called Secretary Day back then. But now, as things have evolved and culture has shifted and positions have changed, it's now kind of a more encompassing type of nomenclature. So it's called Administrative Professionals Day. But it's, you know, it's recognizing the work of the people out there, the secretaries, the administrative assistants, the receptionists, the client service representative, all the other administrative support professionals. They need love, and we thank them for their services.
Absolutely. You know, the office can't run without office supplies, which usually you have to run by one of the administrative receptionists. So
100%. I'm stoked on it. So thanks to them.
I'm still kind of like, I was really thinking this is Secretary Day. This was when I was working downtown, like as a data entry. We were calling it Secretary Day. That was not even 8 years ago. When did it change?
Really?
Yeah.
So I now feel like, Secretary is, it's a lesser used term. I think it's still used, but I think that administrative assistant is kind of a catch-all for the duties performed.
Ah.
But yeah, you're right. I feel like in the last 8 years, the culture has kind of shifted away from that term. I don't necessarily think it's offensive. I just think it's inaccurate of like what they're actually doing.
I could see what you're saying there, but for me, it's just a mouthful. Secretary. It's short.
Secretary,
it's precise.
Is easier to say.
Right. I was like, okay.
There's less syllables.
I'm so lazy. The Hufflepuff in me.
we could just call it, you know, ASP, Administrative Support Professional, Administrative Service Professionals.
There we go. There we go. I like it. We're sticking with that one, okay. Justin.
Sweet.
What do we get for number three?
My favorite trend of the week. Man, it's Damian Lillard, the baddest dude in the NBA. I mean, my God, the shot heard around the world. Earlier this week, they're up 3-1 in the Western Conference NBA playoff first round as a 3 seed against their rival, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're at home looking to close out this series. Tie game, 115. There's like 10 seconds left. Damian Lillard dribbles up the court. Paul George is on him. He dribbles to the right side. Time is expiring. He pulls up from 37 feet out, basically half court. Paul George is in his face. Ball is in the air. Buzzer sounds. Everybody's holding their breath. Bam, dude. Shot goes in. Series over. It is just unbelievable, and the world just freaked out, including myself. It was such a cold-blooded shot. I couldn't believe he pulled up from there. And the guy's incredible. And they got swept out of the first round of the Western Conference playoff last year. And it was embarrassing. And they knew that. And they came back and they just rocked the Thunder 4-1. And the Thunder were talking so much crap. And you know what the Blazers did? They went out there and they took care of business. And I'm fired up.
I saw that play and I thought that was amazing. I liked when he was dribbling up. He was telling everybody, go back, I got this, go back. I was thinking, oh, he's going to run out the clock, right? He's just going to run it out. They're going to go into overtime. And he's just going to make, you know, whatever shot, right? That's what I thought. I thought he was just going to throw the ball, that it's going to go into overtime, whatever. And he made it in. And I was like, what is this? What is this?
Dude,
witchcraft.
Dude, totally. Everybody was just like, a lot of people were like, dude, why are you taking the shot? Like, a lot of the reaction videos that I've seen people posting online, like, right when he lets it go, they're like, no! Man, it was so cool. And did you see the video of his sister courtside at the game?
No.
Freaking out and like jumping in the dog pile. Man, it's great.
Oh, that one, I gotta look that one up. That sounds so cool. But it was amazing. I couldn't believe he got the shot in.
And great. It was so so invigorating.
And the best part about it was when he was done, he had this look on his face like, I didn't have any doubt. What did you all think? And it was like, what?
Yeah, it's just like, act like I've been there before. Like, I'm Damian Lillard. Like, he's shooting such an incredible percentage from 30 to 40 feet during the playoffs. No, this season. He shot 39% from 30 to 40 feet. The NBA average is 25%. Like, the dude is on another level. And for Paul George not to be, like, in his face and even let him maybe get that shot up is totally insane. Like, that's his comfortable range, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was amazing.
So my heart's racing right now.
Go watch it again. Go watch it again. It's going to be awesome. What do we get for number two?
We've got James Holzhauer, the guy that's just dominating Jeopardy right now. He's the Damian Lillard of the Jeopardy world. He's already got over $1 million in winnings in like half the time that Ken Jennings, the other, you know, record holder for Jeopardy that got, you know, over $2 million like 10 years ago now, I think it was. Yeah, Ken Jennings got $2.5 million over 74 games. And Holzhauer is already dominating. He's already got $1.1 million. And he's just crushing it. And the reason that he's doing it is because he's a gambler, but also a trivia maniac. And so he just goes as hard as he possibly can on the daily doubles and just bets an absurd amount of money and tries to just take as much risk as possible. And it's definitely paying off for him. And I feel like Jeopardy's freaking out because they're losing a lot of money right now. They got to pay this dude a lot of money, and there's no signs of him slowing down.
No, there isn't, and he actually says it's because of his gambling background that he does so well, because he's so comfortable to sit there and throw out $60,000, and everybody else is like, oh, no, I only want to do $1,000 on this question.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he's really fundamentally changing the way that people are going to play this game. You got to just risk it all, and he's showing that strategy is really paying off. Like, obviously, there's a big risk. But clearly, there's a massive reward, and guy's got $1.1 million in half the amount of games that it took Ken to get there. So,
yeah. Whew. Yeah, it's actually really interesting, his strategy. So, he'll go to the highest amount at the bottom, what is it, 5,000? And he'll go for those, and he'll slap the buzzer, whether he knows it or not. And he actually practiced slapping the buzzer when he was at home, just to see if he could get faster than everybody else, because if you can hit it first, you'll end up, you know, more often than not, you'll be able to answer it, or you'll just get under everybody else's skin. Plus, he'll be able to find the daily double faster than anybody else by going this route.
Genius. I mean, yeah. It's so cool. It's just such a, like, I mean, Jeopardy is such, like, a traditional and very cut-and-dry type of a game, and this guy's just like, nope, I'm doing my way, and I'm just going to go, super hard in the paint, and it's going to work out. But you guys still have to be a freaking genius to be able to have this amount of success. You still got to know the answer. So, I mean, he's got just the total tenacity and then the knowledge. It's a deadly duo.
Yeah, absolutely, because to get onto Jeopardy, you have to go through, like, this testing period where you have to answer questions, like general knowledge questions, just to get past the application part. Like, not even to get on the show, just to get past that part.
Right.
So he's actually intelligent. So this is, not only is he a gambler and willing to take the risks, but he actually knows stuff too, to be able to answer the question. So I think that's a 2-for-1 right there. Good for this guy.
Yeah, I'm fired up, man. Good for him.
What we get for number one?
We've got the Avengers Endgame. And, like, I think we're going to have a talk about this, and you're going to have to explain some things to me about this, because why does everybody care about this? Like, it's cool, whatever, it's great. But there's been 22 movies, or this is going to be the 22nd, and people are saying it's going to rake in over $1 billion. And why do people care? Like, are they that good of movies? Like, I just, man, I can't believe that they can hold people's attention for 22 movies, and then the last one is going to be even bigger than all of the other ones. And, like, yeah, there's some big stuff going on. We got Captain America, we got Iron Man, we got Thor, we got the Hulk. But the fascination that our country has, or the world has, with superheroes is beyond me. I'm not hating on it. I'm just a little bit surprised.
It's the storyline. It's characters that already are kind of built, and you know, since you've heard of them as you were growing up, so you already got a little bit of a basis. You know who Superman is without actually reading the comic books, right? Who's Batman? I know who Batman is. The same thing with all the comic book heroes. You know of them, but you don't know them well. So it's kind of nice to be able to watch a movie, and you're able to jump into this, you know, fan stuff and be a part of it. I saw the movie. It wasn't as good as I hoped it would be, but that's because, okay, so what it is that I am a big geek, and it's not just comic books. I'm a big geek for fantasy, sci-fi, and my expectations are really high. And I had to come to terms, and this was a few movies ago, that these aren't made for me. This isn't made for the core, hardcore fandom. This is made for people like my mother, my father, who dabble in it and they really think it's cool, but they don't understand the 60 years or the 80 years of lore behind it. And they don't question it. I do. And that's because I'm a big old nerd. So I can't really enjoy it.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I get that. I get that for sure. But that's society nowadays.
Yeah.
You have to cater to the lowest common denominator of individuals to appeal to the masses and make a buck. Because if they made it super hardcore, that's something that appeals to the geeks, then, you know, maybe they're not making $1 billion that they're projected to do. So, well, it's a little unfortunate. But so then what's the demographic, like, age-wise? Anything?
Anything. I think because it has gone on for that long. I mean, comic books, these comic books have been out going on for, like, since the 60s. So you got people who are baby boomers who know who Tony Stark is. And you have yourself the Gen Xers who know who it is. You have the millennials. You have the Gen Zs. Everybody knows who these people are simply because you know who the actors are. You're familiar with them. And then you have the new actors. You're familiar with the new actors. And then the characters are old and new. So it's all familiar ground. Of course, it transcends generations, which is kind of cool in itself. It's just, it's not for me. I'm glad it's over with, and hopefully we can move on away from my fandom, because you casuals are ruining it.
Yeah, I think I just missed the boat. But when I did see Endgame, I just thought of the Taylor Swift song, and then I listened to it, so I got stoked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
I wanna be your Endgame.
Yeah.
That should be, is that the theme song of the movie?
It should have been. It should have been.
Yep, should have been.
It should have been. I would have. Sure. That would have made me smile, at least. No, it's just... I honestly get kind of really passionate when it comes to fandoms, because this is something like I've put effort and time into, and then you have this stuff here, and it's like, what did you do to my baby? And apparently they don't care about me. They just want to, like, make my mom happy, but she wasn't the one who made it cool. Whatever. I'm just being all salty. Thank you.
I care about you and your feelings.
Thank you, Justin. Somebody cares about my nerd feelings. What we get for the most watched YouTube video?
Yeah, we got the Cobra Kai. Kai Season 2, Episode 1. We got Cobra Kai back, YouTube original, climbing the trending charts. Second season is out. It's the classic reboot of the 1984 Karate Kid movie. We got Johnny Lawrence. We got Daniel LaRusso. Nice little rivalry there. I'm not a Karate Kid guy, per se, but I did watch a little bit of this, and it was sick. But you're a fan, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I saw season one. I love the season one, and I'm really excited for season two. I'm going to watch it this weekend. Oh, yeah, I am. It has just the right amount of everything for me. Nostalgia. It's got new blood in it. It's got a engaging storyline. I like it. It's cute, and it's non-committal. You know, I don't have to be a super fan to enjoy it. Boom.
There you go. Yeah, I feel like you can't be super fans anymore, else you just get hurt and emotionally distraught.
I do.
Well, that's tough. All right, well, I'm glad you're giving it a good review. So we got two thumbs up from Mason Beer Fame?
Yes, so far two thumbs up. I'll let
wow.
you know.
All right.
I'm going to get myself a Cobra Kai, like a t-shirt or something. Be like, boom,
t-shirt,
Cobra Kai.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to do this.
Yeah, there you go. You've heard it here first. Ring endorsement. Well, that was season one. We'll see how season two goes. We'll recap later.
Yeah, next week. I'm going to be done with it. I'm going to binge it this weekend and see how it goes.
All right. Let me know.
All right, man. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.